This Seattle Medium podcast is sponsored by the Port of Seattle.
Hi, my name is Mian Rice, the Diversity of Contracting Director for the Port of Seattle. As a public agency, the Port of Seattle serves the community, and our investments should benefit everyone who lives and works here. The Port is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and to leveling the playing field. That means continuing to open doors to contracting opportunities to all, especially women and minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. How can you participate? List your business in Vendor Connect, a database of contractors. Attend Port Gen workshops to learn how to do business with the Port. Learn more about contracting opportunities at portseattle.org. For more information on operating a concessions at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, visit lease.ctacshops.com.
There has been a significant increase in the suicide rates of Black youth. According to the Association of American Medical Colleges, suicide rates of Black people between the ages of 10 and 24 increased by 36% between 2018 and 2021. And there are many factors that have contributed to this increase. With us more on top of this issue is Dr. Roselle Jenkins, a licensed psychologist based in Houston, Texas. Good morning, Dr. Jenkins.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I am doing very well.
That's good. Roselle, while these numbers are alarming, what is even more disturbing is the number of young people who we least expect who are suffering from mental health issues, and the pressures and struggles that young people face today, you know, really has no boundaries.
You're right. That is very alarming. And oftentimes a child or adolescent may look like they're functioning just fine, and something happens, there's some trigger, and they're not okay anymore. And it seems very sudden, and as if there is no onset, but they may have been struggling all along.
Right. And then what about the, you know, a lot of people are talking about the impact of social media on the, as it relates to the mental health of young people. You know, what can you say about the impact that social media can have on young people and their mental state?
So we all know that social media has lots of benefits. It can connect people in many ways. People who have had difficulty connecting can feel a little safer connecting there, but there are also downsides because adolescents often believe a lot of what they see on the internet, and they also are exposed to many more things than they normally would be if they didn't have that access. And with the 24-hour news cycle, that can impact how they're feeling and their views on the world and their level of anxiety about the world. So comparing themselves to others, some of what they do on social media, as well as sometimes cyberbullying, all of those things can negatively impact a young person's mental health. And we have seen instances where people have died by suicide after some negative social media interaction. While that may not be the prevalent cause of death by suicide by African American adolescents, it is a factor that we have to consider in terms of how it's negatively impacting their mental health.
Right. And Roselle, what would you say to those who would say, when we're talking about these different mental health issues and the suicide rates, you know, what would you say to those who would say, you know, that's not Black folks, we don't do that?
I would say that's absolutely incorrect. And that is one of the beliefs that has led to us not sometimes taking seriously the concerns raised by our children, whether it's someone in our own family or whether it's a friend or someone in the community. People have this misguided idea that Black youth and adolescents don't have these difficulties and that they don't die by suicide. And the research shows differently. In fact, there has been an increase in the rate of suicidal behavior by Black youth over the past few years. So while Black youth and adolescents still die by suicide at a lower rate overall than their white counterparts or Native American counterparts, their risk has increased significantly in the past few years. So while the rates are declining for those other groups, for our group, for African-American youth and adolescents, the rate is increasing.
Right. And, Roselle, what factors do you believe are contributing to this increase in these suicide rates among Black youth?
Well, I can talk about what the research has shown to date, but the problem is there hasn't been enough research, and that Black and African American youth have been left out of a lot of this research. But what some of the research has shown is greater access to firearms, because Black adolescent boys ages 0 to 19, that is the most common way that they die by suicide. So that's one of the risk factors. Then there is another risk factor that is across the board for all groups, which is adverse childhood experiences. But because African-American and Black youth experience adverse childhood experiences and trauma at a significantly higher rate, that has certainly increased the risk. And then research has shown that racism and discrimination, which has always existed, but again, because of this access to a 24-hour news cycle, our children are seeing this constantly. They are being confronted with these images. They're seeing images of police brutality. And there was a study done at the University of Houston where they actually looked at some of the factors that they just simply asked youth about what might cause them to think about suicide and what would protect them or what would keep them from doing that. And actually racism came up as one of the top indicators, one of the things with which they were most dealing. So there are lots of factors that impact this increase.
Right. And honing in a little bit on the adverse childhood experiences, how can we as a community start to respond or react to some of these experiences that these youth are going through in order to kind of help mitigate that to a certain extent? I know we can't control anything, but what kind of things should we as a community be aware of and things that we can do?
There are things that we need to do on a societal and structural level, as well as things that we can do on a community level. Now, of course, societally and structurally, we need to have programs in place that protect those children that are most at risk for these experiences. And those are large-scale governmental programs. On a community level, in terms of what we can do in the schools, in terms of what we can do in the churches, is provide safety nets so that kids who are experiencing challenges, whether they be in the home, whether it be with a family member who has their own mental health challenges or substance addiction, or even experiencing problems in living or housing, that we're providing that support. So community programs have long done that in the Black community, but that is really something that we need to focus on, looking at those children who are most at risk and making sure that we're providing safety nets and programs where they can get the support that they need, as well as know that there is a safe place.
Right. And speaking of support, can you talk a little bit about how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted this issue as well, especially amongst Black youth? I mean, again, there's a double-edged or maybe a triple-edged sword, really, as we talk about this issue and how it impacted. But certainly, you talk about some of the isolation that took place. You certainly can talk about the fact that, some children are in families where the parents are suffering from mental health issues that they haven't addressed, let alone being able to address the issues of their children.
COVID-19 really impacted everybody's mental health, and some people dealt with that better than others. If you're talking about adolescents, what I saw during, particularly when we were at the height of the pandemic, is I saw quite a few adolescents in private practice, especially in the late teens who were really dealing with this idea that the world was so unpredictable and so unsafe, and what is the point of living anymore? And I think that view that anything can happen at any time, a somewhat more morbid nihilistic view, has really increased teens' levels of depression, as well as their levels of anxiety. And that has still been the far-reaching impact of COVID, and it's what we're still dealing with and need to address in terms of more mental health care and support, which we were getting at the height of COVID, and some of that has now been scaled back a bit.
Right. And what are some of the warning signs that parents, teachers, and community members should be aware of regarding mental health struggles in Black teens?
Well, the warning signs are things that you haven't noticed in your teen. So if your teen was normally, or your child was normally bubbly or social, and now they're withdrawing, that's a common sign. They're isolating themselves. Even if you notice that they're spending too much time on social media and that's seeming to impact their mood, then that's something to have a conversation about. It doesn't necessarily mean your child is suicidal, but it might mean that they're depressed or anxious, or that they need a break from social media. If they are seemingly shutting themselves off from people that they with whom they used to associate those types of things. Now, some studies have shown that with Black adolescents who attempted suicide, that they actually had an argument, or they had an argument, or they had some incident to happen right before they attempted suicide. So you really have to just watch what's happening and pay attention and have those conversations, because even though this was a smaller study or sampling of individuals, what it demonstrated is that what you were saying in the beginning, Chris, that some of these teens may look like they're fine, but they're responding to a trigger in the moment, and they're thinking that death by suicide is the way to respond. And some of what would help that is just teaching kids the coping skills to deal with life challenges. And some of that is done in the schools through life skills or social emotional learning. Some of that is done in the home, but we really need to be teaching kids the coping skills to deal with difficult things, to deal with disappointment, because we have seen that where something happens and they think, oh, let me end my life. And they may not really want to end their life. They just think that in that moment, that is the solution, and that's not a solution to a temporary problem.
Right. And Roselle, let's talk a little bit about the school environment, the educational environment, because I understand that some educators and groups of people are looking to eliminate or limit discussions about differences and diversity. And then also in relation to that, you know, how effective are school-based health centers and resources in identifying and addressing mental health issues today, especially considering so many school districts are experiencing funding issues?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. They are very effective when they have the funding to do so. In fact, many students, especially students or children who are in lower income neighborhoods, the mental health care treatment they receive usually occurs in the school setting. So when that happens, that's a very effective resource, but the schools have to have the funding to do that. In terms of people not understanding the importance of teaching these social emotional learning skills and thinking that this is something that is a negative for their children, I think that's really people not understanding that this is really about helping your child learn how to regulate their emotions, how to deal with difficulties and challenges in life. And research has consistently shown that children who are taught social emotional learning skills or life skills, whatever term we want to use, that they actually fare better over their lifespan, and there is also a decreased risk of mental health issues as well as suicide
right.
risk.
All right. And before I let you go, you know, what are, and for lack of a better term, you know, what are the best practices that parents and family members can utilize to help with suicide prevention amongst Black youth? And what can we as a community, as the African-American community, both from a local perspective and a broader perspective across the country, you know, do to help contribute to these efforts?
We have to continue having conversations such as these, so that we are destigmatizing mental health treatment. So that's what we can do as a community. And I've seen some of that. I've seen churches having these conversations. I've seen local community organizations having these conversations and people talking about their mental health challenges. So for parents listening to their children talking about what is going on with them, making sure you keep the lines of communication open and that you ask these questions. If you notice that something is going on with your child or your child comes to you, take it seriously, because sometimes parents will hear their child complain about something, or they will actually talk about wanting to die or feeling like they don't want to live anymore, and parents will dismiss that. You don't want to dismiss that because you don't know what that child is going through and if they really are seriously considering taking their lives. You want to have that conversation. That is actually important. It's an important prevention tool. People sometimes think if I ask the question that that's going to give a person an idea, but it lets the person know that you care and you are listening, even if you think it's a cry for help, then give them the help that they need. So the number one thing that parents can do is to listen to their children, but they also want to model good health themselves. So if they are experiencing difficulties or challenges with any parent that may be listening, you need to make sure you take care of your mental health and get the treatment that you need, but also provide your child that treatment. And I don't want us to leave without giving, to end without giving out the National Suicide Prevention number, which is 988. So if anyone is having thoughts of taking their lives or wanting to hurt themselves, that they can call that number, 988.
Dr. Roselle Jenkins, I want to thank you for joining us on today's show and really addressing, I mean, this issue. I know we went through quite a bit in a short period of time, but I really appreciate you coming on the show and providing our community with this information this morning.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me.